our speaker tonight is the person of Brother Charles Cochran. Brother Cochran, he currently is doing his 39th year at the East Ridge Church of Christ in Chattanooga. He's going to bring us a message tonight that's entitled Man in His Bible. We ask you to give your ear to our speaker tonight, Brother Cochran.
Thank you very much, Brother Brooks. It is a wonderful blessing to be part of this great effort of sharing the gospel of Christ throughout this great nation. I thank Brother Brooks for the invitation and the good brethren of the Highland Heights congregation for their support and their encouragement in this ministry. It's a great, great privilege to preach the gospel of Christ to those listening tonight in view of a never-ending eternity. We ask you to open your Bibles, open your hearts, open your will to the way of God revealed in His precious, precious Word. I want us to imagine tonight a man is traveling on a long, long journey. We might ask ourselves, as he begins this journey, what does he take with him? Well, he may take food and water. And as he takes food and water, he also carries something else with him. I ask us tonight, when we make a journey, when we make a special trip, what do I take with me? Well, I may pack my suitcase with clothing, with an extra pair of shoes, possibly some food and water. But is there something else that I take with me? When I go back and I ask the question again of a man that makes this long journey, he takes with him a copy of God's sacred word. This man, as he journeys from Ethiopia all the way to Jerusalem, as he rides in his chariot, with him in that chariot is a copy of the sacred scroll, the sacred word of God. Now remember that he does not possess the entire scriptures that you and I possess. For he's living during a time when scriptures being fully revealed. In the New Testament days, as the Bible comes to completion, about AD 96, when the book of Revelation is completed, we have then the perfect will of God. The entirety of Scripture is given. But this man, as he travels from Ethiopia to Jerusalem, takes with him a scroll, a part of the Word of God. Our lesson is going to focus upon this man and his Bible. I'll read from the book of Acts chapter 8, beginning in verse 26, what Scripture says of this man and his Bible. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this, He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, and the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Look at it. A man and his Bible goes on his way back home to Ethiopia rejoicing. The joy that's in his heart is far, far different than the joy he's ever experienced. He's never found in his life exactly what he found that day when he heard the gospel preached to him by this wonderful evangelist, this deacon by the name of Philip. Would you think with me a moment about what this man and his Bible reveals and teaches us tonight? First, please notice the use this man made of his Bible. As he's riding along, he has the scroll. He is reading from that scroll. He is reading the scripture. The Bible says in John 5 and verse 39, You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. You recall how that Jesus said in the great Sermon on the Mount at Matthew 5 and verse 6, Blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. The righteousness that you and I are hungering and thirsting for can be found and discovered as we make use of the Word of God, reading, meditating upon the sacred scriptures. There was a wonderful Sabbath day when the Savior goes to the city of Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as Jesus goes, as his custom was, into the synagogue on that Sabbath day, the Bible says that he was going to stand up in that synagogue for to read. And it was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he opened the book, he found the place where it was written. He opened the book, he opened the scroll, and he stood on that day in that synagogue before those Jews, and he opened unto them what the scriptures revealed. Can you and I today open the book, God's Word, and find the place where it is written? The great and lamented gospel preacher, Brother G.P. Holt, was a wonderful preacher of God's Word. I remember on one occasion hearing Brother Holt share the thought found here in Luke chapter 4, where Jesus opens the book and he finds the place where it is written. And Brother Holt encouraged us, can we open the book and find the place where salvation is written, where God tells us what to do in order to be saved? Can we open the book and find the place where the church of the Bible is described? Can we open the book and find the place as to how we should live our lives upon this earth? Oh, the great challenge that Brother Holt shared with us motivated and encouraged that audience to always be willing to make use of the Word of God, opening the book and finding the place where it is written. Well, that's what this Ethiopian nobleman is doing. He has opened the book. He has found a place. He is reading from the scriptures of Isaiah chapter 53. He had been to Jerusalem for to worship God. And as this man had been to Jerusalem to worship God, remember now that he is a religious man. He believed in God. Some say that he may have been a Jew displaced in Ethiopia, or he may have been a proselyte under the Jewish religion. But he was a man that was of such religious conviction that he would travel over 1,000 miles from Ethiopia to Jerusalem to worship God. What a great example of commitment and religious fervor. But now remember, religion alone does not save us. For one can be religious and religiously in error. And here the man from Ethiopia, religious as he was in error. He would never, ever have been saved by Judaism. He would never, ever have been saved had he not come to the place and the understanding of what the Scripture says that he was reading on that occasion. He needed to know what he was reading about. The open book, the use of that book, as the man in his Bible is riding along that day in the chariot. Let's look at another thing that I believe is a wonderful example of what this man teaches us, the man and his Bible. There is the understanding that he needed to have of what he was reading that day. Notice how that the question is asked by Philip the evangelist as he runs to this Ethiopian eunuch. You see, the urgency that Philip had to go and catch this chariot and to teach the man further the word of God. And the question that Philip asked him as he heard him read the prophet Isaiah, "Understandest thou what thou readest?" You suppose that whenever Philip asked such question, that the eunuch would have been offended? Would he have been hurt by the question that Philip has asked about his understanding of the word that he was reading that day? Rather than being offended, the eunuch had an openness of mind that caused him to be willing to listen to what Philip the evangelist would teach him that day. Oh, there's a need for all of us to possess the same kind of openness of our mind and our hearts that we might be able to further understand the Word of God. But we ask the question, can we really understand the Bible? Are there those that would say, well, we can't understand the Bible, it's too hard? I realize that Peter said there's some things that Paul wrote that are hard to be understood, 2 Peter chapter 3. But now notice Peter says there's some things hard. He did not say that all things are hard to understand. It is an amazing thing when we pick our Bibles up and we read the word of the Lord that most every word in your Bible is two syllables or less, except for the names of individuals or cities or places. God has given us his word in simple language that we may be able to read and understand. Remember, Jesus said in John chapter 8 that if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Yes, Jesus said it must be that we continue in. We go deeper into the Word of God, and as we continue in the teachings of Christ, we can know that truth, and the truth will make us free. I remember hearing a preacher on one occasion say this, "The more you shine the truth, the brighter and brighter it becomes." The more we understand that Word as we meditate, read, and seek to understand it. Paul said to Timothy at 1 Timothy 2, verse 4, God desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Paul, you're saying that all men can come to the knowledge of the truth? Or is it the case that there are only a select few that can understand the truth and everyone else is left in the dark? No, the Bible says all men may be saved, and all men can come to the knowledge of the truth. We can understand the Word of God. In John 7:17, Jesus said, "If anyone wants to do his will, he shall know concerning the doctrine, whether it is from God or whether I speak on my own authority." Now notice what the Lord is saying. It all revolves around our desire. If anyone wants to do his will, if I desire to obey the word of God, if I desire to understand the scriptures, you and I may come to the understanding of that word. I love the way the Apostle Paul said it in the book of Ephesians, the third chapter. As he there writes to those great saints in the city of Ephesus, he writes these words unto those Christians, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto us, his holy apostles and prophets, by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Now notice a couple of things that Paul there says. It is by revelation. The revelation of what? Is it not the revelation of God's divine truth that has come down to us through sacred scripture? Isn't the Bible God's revelation of his will for our lives? And if we understand then, the Bible is a revelation. It reveals. It unfolds. It helps us to come to understanding of the will of God. And Paul says, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. The challenge all of us have is that of reading, studying, to show ourselves approved unto God. And there are times, as was the case with this eunuch, we're willing to have someone guide us and help us to understand the Word of God better. That willingness to learn is the key to learning. Not having a closed mind, but having an open heart. Speak, Lord, your servant hears. Command, and I will obey. Therefore, we see in the example of the man in his Bible, not only did he make a use of it, not only did he seek to understand it, and he was taught more perfectly the way of God as Philip opened his mouth and taught this man about Jesus, as he then heard the message of the gospel, the wonderful truths that are revealed in the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus, the wonderful fulfillment of what the man had been reading in Isaiah 53. Philip said, this is the meaning of what you're reading. This is a scripture about Jesus Christ. Philip lifts up Christ. He exalts Christ. And he says, Jesus is this one about whom the prophet is speaking and you're reading. And then this eunuch begins to come to an understanding of what the scripture is saying. Thirdly and finally, I believe, not only do we see the use of the Bible by this man and the understanding of it by this man, but there is an urgency involved in what the Bible is teaching this man he needs to do. The message of the Bible is that which must be obeyed. It must be submitted unto. The beautiful thing that we notice in the book of Acts chapter 8, at verse number 36, as they're riding along, the eunuch says, behold, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Now, I want you to understand that when the eunuch said, see, or behold, here is water, literally translated, he continually said, he continually pleads, as they're riding along, he pleads with Philip, Philip, here is some water. Can I be baptized? What hinders me from being baptized? Wouldn't it be a great thing if we had people today who would plead and beg us to baptize them into Christ? I say to all of us lovingly, kindly tonight, and yet with deep conviction, that once we understand the gospel, once we understand the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, and how one responds unto that gospel by being baptized into his death, buried with him, raised up to walk in newness of life, and a person desires salvation, they will beg us, they will plead, they will literally say, why can I not be baptized? immediately. The message of the Bible must have a sense of urgency in the heart in order to cause us to be willing to obey the truth that we have understood. And this is what we see in this eunuch. Now notice how this man was baptized. The example is clearly taught. The Bible says both Philip and the eunuch go down into the water. Both Philip and the eunuch. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord called away Philip, and the eunuch went on his way rejoicing. Rejoicing? When did he rejoice? Before he goes down into the water and is baptized, or after he arises out of the waters, having been baptized by Philip, having heard the gospel, having understood the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. This man then has obeyed the teaching of Jesus, who said, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. This man rejoices because he finds salvation in Christ. He did not find it back up in Jerusalem. He did not find it under Judaism. He found it in Christ. And in the salvation possible through Jesus Christ, he obeys the one baptism that Paul wrote of in Ephesians 4, verse 5. There are three ways that sometimes people are taught baptism occurs: sprinkling, pouring, immersion. Which is it? There's only one. And the one baptism clearly identified is that of a burial. Colossians 2 and verse 12. It is an immersion into Christ. If we were to really translate this word as it literally is stated, it would be, say, he that believes and is immersed shall be saved. He that believes and goes down into the water as the eunuch did, and Philip then buries him in the waters of baptism. He then follows what the scripture says the one baptism truly is. The question needs to be asked of us tonight as we sense the urgency of obeying the message of the gospel. Maybe you're listening and you are in your sins and you want forgiveness of your sins. And you know the power for salvation from your sins is in the blood of Jesus. Oh, my friend, Jesus shed his blood in his death, John chapter 19. And as Jesus' blood is shed in his death, you and I contact that blood as we're baptized into his death. His blood then washes away our sins as we are buried with him, and then we find the salvation. We find the same joy that this eunuch found that day. What hinders me? The question the eunuch asked, what does hinder me from being baptized? He now understands. He now accepts the gospel. Now comes the act of obedience. What hinders me today? Is it possible? Satan hinders us. Satan steals the word out of our hearts. Satan blinds our eyes to the simple message of the gospel of Christ and the obedience thereunto. Surely it's the case that Satan is busy even this moment seeking to take the word and the truth from our hearts. It is the case that sometimes self is a hindrance to my obeying the gospel and being baptized into Christ. I do not want to yield myself unto God. The song says, my stubborn will at last has yielded. We must be willing to die to self, crucify self, take up the cross, and follow Jesus. Sometimes we're hindered by sin. And it may be the case that you have certain sins in your life, and you say, you know, I cannot get rid of these sins. I can't let go of them. I love them too much. But now remember, the Bible says Moses chose to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. My friend, the world is passing away in the lust thereof, but he that does the will of God abides forever. Sin, as it controls us, sin as it holds us back, there is no sin that is worth losing our souls over. Do not let any sin hinder you from obeying the word of God. And my friend, there is no sin, no matter how black or dark, deep, there is no sin whatever, but that the love of God can reach down and it can lift us up. Love can lift us away and forgive us of whatever sin is in our life. There may be struggles that you have, struggles that you feel you cannot overcome. But remember now, the Bible says, I can do all things. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Whatever struggles you have in your life, you may overcome by the power of Jesus. Again, I ask, what hinders me? Do we understand? Will we make use of our Bibles to know the truth that can make us free? And as I close my thoughts tonight, I want us to imagine this. We go down the road, and we watch as a man approaches us. And we see as this person approaches us, he's rejoicing. We ask, sir, why are you rejoicing? And he says, I heard about a man called Jesus. I heard the gospel today. A preacher told me the truth about Jesus and his death and burial and resurrection. He told me something I didn't understand. He told me that I needed to be baptized. And I was willing to do so. And I went down into the waters of baptism, and as I was baptized today, all of my sins were forgiven by the blood of Jesus. It is written to Barton Stone that in his early days he was traveling through Ohio preaching. And having preached in the forenoon, he mounted his horse to go to another appointment. When, as he rode along, a stranger fell in with him and said, Mr. Stone, I heard you preach this morning. Here is a stream of water. I want to be baptized. What hinders me? Stone had never understood this passage of Scripture before this, but he was reminded of it, and he instantly resolved to follow it. So he said, if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart, you may. He answered, I do believe on him with all my heart. Dismount then, said Stone, and let us go down into the water. They did so, and when they came out of the stream, they parted, never saw each other again. Did Stone do right? Did that man do right? If they did not, Philip and the eunuch did wrong. If you do the same, will you do right? You must, if you have the right Bible to guide you. These are words written by J.W. McGarvey as he described the wonderful illustration of a man who can simply obey the gospel of Christ. We encourage you tonight, if you understand, don't delay. Don't let anything hinder you. But arise, call someone, call Brother Brooks, call someone else near you, and we will help find someone to assist you in obeying the glorious gospel of Christ. I close by asking, do you possess the Bible? And does the Bible possess you? Thank you for listening. God bless you as you seek to understand and obey His Word.